This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.
We're in a series right now entitled Living for Eternity. Today's session is called Life on Earth During the Thousand Years. And I'll just give you a little heads up that next session is going to be Life in Heaven During the Thousand Years. So we're going to be looking today specifically at what does life look like on the earth? And I want to give you just a couple little filter points here. As we look at the tremendous amount of information that the Bible gives about the millennial kingdom, about the thousand-year reign of Jesus, as we look at that, it gives us tremendous insights into real things that are going to happen in the future. I don't know, for me, it's way easier for me to get excited about the future when I know for sure about something instead of like something might happen one day. I'll give you the difference. You're going to go on family vacation to your favorite place and the date is set on the calendar and it's 8 months out. You're excited. Your parents come up to you or you're the parent and you say it to the kids like, one day we're going to go on a fun vacation probably. Very difficult to get excited about that. But it's exciting when we start to look at, this is in my future, this is part of reality, we are moving towards that reality, we're moving towards it. And so I want to just give you that little bit of a lens as we continue to study the subject of the millennium, and I want to also kind of a second filter point. This series on living for eternity is mostly, I know not last session and this one, but it's mostly about empowering our hearts to live for the age to come. But if we don't have an idea of what the age to come looks like, in my opinion, it's a little bit difficult to start living for it. And so today is not so much of a preaching message, it's more of a teaching about the millennium, about the thousand-year reign of Jesus. But by seeing it, by understanding what's happening there, it can then continue to fuel us to want to then root ourselves in it, which is what we're doing in this whole series, okay? So with that, we're going to do a quick review. We ended with this in our last session, talking about those who resisted everything. We called them the resistors. We called them those that survived. I got to do a quick recap, otherwise today and our subject isn't going to make a lot of sense. And so again, I know that this is review, but I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. First of all, there is a group of people who are going to live on the earth during the millennial reign of Christ that do not have resurrected bodies. You and I, we're going to have resurrected bodies. We love Jesus. When Jesus comes back, we're going to get a resurrected body. We're going to go to be with him in heaven. But heaven is actually coming to earth, and his purposes are to establish his rule on the earth, not merely in heaven. It's already established there. There's a second group of people that we know about, and that is all of those that are going to take the mark of the beast, all those that are going to follow the Antichrist. All of them are going to wind up in hell. They're not on the earth during the next age. They are not here during the thousand-year reign. So people with a resurrected body, they're not here on the earth during the next age. And people that took the mark of the beast, they're going to go to hell. They're not here on the earth in the next age. But there is a group of people that will be. And we refer to them as the resistors, and I like that term because they resisted everything. They resisted the Antichrist. They made it through the Great Tribulation and didn't take the mark of the beast. This will be a very small percentage of people. But even 1% of 10 billion people is a ton of people. So let's say it's just 1%. It's still a ton of people, okay? They resisted the Antichrist. They also resisted Jesus. They didn't give their lives to Jesus during the Great Tribulation. They resisted Jesus. They resisted impossible odds to not die. All the crazy plagues and everything that's going to happen during the end time events, there's going to be a tremendous amount of death toll that's going to happen. They resisted that. They resisted giving up. They didn't just somewhere in the midst of all that just go, you know what, I'm just so despairing of life, I'm just going to quit. They resisted everybody. Well, let's look at a few of the verses that talk about them, because the Word of God doesn't use the term resistor. The Word of God uses the term those that survive, those who are left, those who remain. Those are the terms that are used. So let's look at a couple of the verses. Isaiah 4, 2 through 3. In that day, it's talking about end times, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem. They will be called holy, all who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. This is those that didn't get raptured, and they didn't die of plagues, and they didn't take the mark of the beast. It's an interesting group. Zechariah 14 says, oh, not just Israel, says they're all over. Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. That says there's going to be survivors from all the nations, not just from Israel. Jeremiah 31 says, this is what the Lord says, the people who survive the sword will find favor in the desert, and I will come and give rest to Israel. These are just a few verses. There's about 20 that say the same thing, that there's a group of people that are going to be alive during the millennium. The reason this is important, this is the interpretive key to understanding the millennium. If you don't understand this group exists, all the Bible passages about the millennium are confusing because you're trying to figure out, how are we going to be doing that with a resurrected body? You won't be. It's not for you. It's for a different group of people entirely. It's for the group of people Jesus is going to reboot humanity with during the millennial reign. Okay? So it's important that we understand that group, because today's session is all about the activities of the stuff they're going to do during the millennium. This is some exciting news. They're all going to get saved. Isaiah 2:2-3. All nations, talking about all the Gentile nations, will flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. This is talking about all the people of the earth during the millennium. All the nations. They're all going to come to Jesus to get instruction. They're all going to come to him. They're all going to have witnessed the events of the Great Tribulation. They didn't get saved during it. They get saved after it, and they don't get a resurrected body because it's too late. You get a resurrected body if you give your life to Jesus before he comes, not after he comes. Okay? Well, this group of people, they're going to give their life to Jesus. It's just after he's come. Joel 2:32 says, and everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved, for on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. These are the survivors of the Lord's calling. They're going to give their lives to the Lord. They're going to wind up becoming followers of Jesus. That's how this whole thing works. Now, let's talk about what they're going to do. Now, again, I just want to give you another little snapshot. You guys want to picture this. If you've given your life to the Lord, you're going to watch this stuff happen. You are going to witness this. You're going to go, oh, that's Joel 2. That's Isaiah. Oh my gosh, it's happening. You're going to watch it happen. We're going to be elbowing each other and going, we believed that way back when we were poor slobs with bodies of death, before we got our resurrected body. I remember that. I remember talking about that. We're going to watch these things unfold, and it's going to be exhilarating and awesome. It's going to be prophecy fulfilled. So let's look at a little bit about what these folks are doing. And I just want to remind you again, this is the smallest percentage. I'm just going to make up some percentages just so you can start to get a little bit of a picture here. Let's say that 2/3 of the human population takes the mark of the beast, okay? So let's say that we're at 8 billion people and 2/3 of them take the mark of the beast. I'm just making up that percentage, okay? And so, you know, 2/3 of 8 is what? Is that 6? Okay? So then you got 2 billion people left, all right? Did I do the math right on that? No, I don't think I did. Let's go. Well, great, what Walter said, okay? So math, whoo, strong suit it is not. Okay, so anyway, so it's some big number is my point. And they've taken the mark of the beast. Then let's say 1 billion get saved in the great harvest. That's a ton, okay? Then there's all these people that are going to die and all this. Let's say it only winds up being 3 million people that wind up being this resistor group, wind up being these survivors. 3 million, I think that would be an extremely low number. But let's say it's 3 million people. Tell you what, if you're trying to restart planet Earth and you're Jesus, you can work with 3 million. I mean, that's loaves and fishes right there. I mean, you can do this, okay? Let's say it's only 3 million people. 3 million people, made up number, are going to restart humanity on the planet, okay? Maybe the number's 30 million. My point is, it's some very small fraction of the total population. It's not like 1/3 takes the mark of the beast, 1/3 gets saved, and 1/3 of the resistors. The resistors are a small group. They're called those that are left. It's like the little remnants. Like it's the few people that made it kind of a thing. Well, let's talk about what happens during the millennium. One, this is important detail. If you're one of those resistors, which, I mean, if you've given your life to the Lord, that's not you. But if you're one of the resistors, The natural process of human life continues on. You've got Jesus sitting in a chair right there, and gravity still works. It's not like the next age, everything just like gets suspended. Jesus is sitting right there in the throne. He's ruling the planet, and the sun is still in the sky, and there are hot days, and there are cold days. Jesus Christ ruling on the earth, and life continues on. Normal things. You know, you go to the pond, you throw a fishing line in, and you catch a fish. Normal life stuff. The normal processes of life continue on during the millennium, okay? Mankind will repopulate the planet. Look at Ezekiel 36, 11 through 12. I will increase the number of men and animals upon you, and they will be fruitful and become numerous. I will settle people on you as in the past, and will make you prosper more than before. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I will cause people, my people Israel, to walk upon you. They will possess you, and you will be their inheritance. You will never again deprive them of their children. Ezekiel 37, 26 through 28. I'll make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers. And I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling will be with them. I will be their God. They will be my people when my sanctuary is among them forever. God's sanctuary has never been among the people of the earth forever. But it's going to be. And when it is, during that season of time, God says, I'm going to increase your numbers on the earth. You're going to inherit the earth. I'm going to do it like I did it before, but I'm going to do it again. Long life is going to be restored. You remember how back in Genesis, people were living obnoxious hundreds of years old? It's going to happen again. The curse of the fall caused people to start decaying faster and their bodies to wear out, so that now if you're 100, you're like, woo, you old. But that's not how it was before. Look at what Isaiah 65 says. Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 years old will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. Oh, 102. What was wrong with that guy? Man, he must have lived a really bad life. Like, what was wrong with him? Oh, they died at 100? They're just getting started. It was like a baby. 100 years old is considered an infant? What in the world is going on here? Because the curse is going to get reversed, and people are going to start living hundreds and hundreds of years now, again, during the millennial period. There'll be peace in nature. This has never happened before. Look at this. Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. The wolf will live with the lamb instead of living with him for 5 seconds and devouring him. The leopard will lie down with the goat instead of biting off his head. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. Here, little leopard, leopard, leopard. Come along with me. Let me hold your hand, wolfie, wolfie. The cow will feed with the bear. That's bizarre. Their young will lie down together and play. This is crazy. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. And the young child will put his hand in the viper's says, Viper, I love you, Vipey. You're so cute. And it won't bite the kid. You've never seen this before. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We are headed for a very different period of time. When you put all those details together, human population is going to wind up increasing like crazy. What if the 19 kids and counting, you know, crew over there at the Duggars, what if Michelle Duggar in her prime was able to live to like 700 years old in her prime, making babies? 19 million kids and counting. And then don't forget those kids, and then they make kids, and then those kids make kids, and the kids... Here's what's going to happen. The natural process that causes people to die fast is over. People are going to live longer. They're not going to die of unnatural causes. They're not going to die of bad stuff. They're not going to die of animal attacks. They're not going to die of sickness. They're not going to die. They're going to live much longer. They're going to make babies like crazy. And as a result, the earth is going to get repopulated. So the planet is going to be repopulated, just made up thought process. In 250 years, the Earth's population will be back to what it was before Jesus came. Made up number on the 250 years. Do whatever math, come up with whatever equation. My point is, it's going to take a little while, but remember, the millennium lasts 1,000 years. The entire purpose of the millennium is to restore the earth to right order. It's Jesus setting up the planet for the Father's coming at the end of the 1,000 years. Unprecedented peace will mark the 1,000 years. Check this out. Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I want to focus on the peace. Increased peace. I don't know about you. I don't like feeling the heebie-jeebies. Not my favorite. I don't like feeling anxiety. I don't like feeling depression. I like feeling peace. But what's even cooler is when Jesus is king on the earth, you're going to have peace on day one, and day two, there's more peace than there was before. And week three, there's more peace, and year five, there's more peace, and year 80, there's more peace of the increase of his peace, increased peace. Not of his peace, there will be no end, of the increase of his peace. So peace, more peace, even better peace, man, that's a great way to live. I'd like to be there. That sounds like a phenomenal place to be. This is the environment of the 1,000-year reign of Christ that these resistors are growing up in, having kids in, raising families in. What else are they going to do? They're going to rebuild cities because the entire planet got whopped. The entire planet is like scarcity of city, of establishment, of electricity, of technology, of clean this or healthy that. The whole planet is in total disarray after the Great Tribulation period. It is the hottest mess it's ever been. In fact, I wonder if formless and void looked prettier than the planet looks on day one of the millennium. It looks bad, okay? Everything's going to need to be rebuilt. Literal cities are going to be rebuilt. Isaiah 61:4. And Ezekiel 36, they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. For generations. This verse is specifically talking about cities being built 300 years into the millennium. Cities that have been long devastated. Not cities that were destroyed 6 weeks ago during the Great Tribulation. Cities that have been laying desolate for generations. Why? Because the human population has not yet caught up to be able to restore the whole planet. It takes time. If you restore one city and everybody was working on it, great job. There's still a whole lot of planet Earth that's in devastation. It says over generations, meaning the world's just going to keep getting better and worked on and strengthened. It's going to be awesome. I will multiply the number of people upon you. Even the whole house of Israel, the towns will be inhabited and the ruins will be rebuilt. The Lord is going to utilize these resistors, those who are left, the survivors, that's the biblical terminology. He's going to utilize them to rebuild the cities. Well, can you just imagine being in Jesus's, you know, new world order and you're not a construction guy or gal? And he's like, well, somebody, we got to start up the construction schools again because we got a lot of building to do. And all you guys, you're good at stuff we don't need right now. Like, I'm really glad that you know how to do this, this, and this. But man, we need some construction crews because we need to get to building. Jesus, who is a carpenter, Jesus is a general contractor. Jesus will teach the nations how to build stuff. And I guarantee you, his building plans will be way better than whatever that building in Florida that fell down, you know, a few months ago was. I'm telling you, he is going to have a great plan and strategy for construction, and things are going to get rebuilt. Houses, Isaiah 65, 21 through 22, they will build houses and dwell in them. No longer will they will build houses and others live in them. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. It's talking about the construction of houses again, not just buildings, not just cities. Fields will be replanted. Look at this. Isaiah 65, 21. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And you just have to trust me, or you can go back and look at these verses on your own. All of these verses are end times passages. So I'm not just pulling out verses about you know, a city, and it's actually talking about a city that was rebuilt, you know, 2,000 years ago. These are end time passages. You can go look at the context and see that. They'll plant vineyards and eat their fruit. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful. This is Ezekiel 36. I'll call for the grain and make it plentiful. I'll increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field so that you no longer suffer famine. Huh? Yeah. When you plant trees in the millennium, they're better trees. They'll actually produce more food than a tree produces now in this age. But man, we've been doing all this genetic, testing and stuff. We've built up all these trees and plants. We know how to make a watermelon the size of Texas. Nope. These trees are going to be bigger and better. Under Jesus' leadership, the trees that will be planted will actually be more fruitful than the trees in this age. How cool is that? The restoration of the land. In that day, this is Joel 3, in that day the mountain will drip new wine and the hills will flow with milk. All the ravines of Judah will run with water. A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house and will water the valley of Acacias. This is actually talking about the river of the water of life flowing out of the throne. And where it flows, where that river flows, it's bringing life and it's restoring things and it's bringing freshness. All you need, if your little area is totally devastated and janky, all you need to do is build a little trench off the river of the water of life and get that water coming your way. As soon as that water comes to your area, it starts springing up life and freshness, and probably buckets would do the same thing. Nations will get fully discipled. Listen, you just got to recognize that the Word of God is eternal. It's not like the Word of God is over when Jesus comes back. Do we recognize that? The Bible is still going to be valuable. Jesus is still going to operate out of New Testament and Old Testament principles and Bible verses when he himself is ruling. So when he comes back, it's not like the whole thing's over. We're still at the very beginning. We're still just getting started. But the Great Commission is this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Wink, wink. I'll be back at the end of the age, and that's when we really get started. Okay? He says this. As long as there are people and nations that don't know everything I've commanded, the Great Commission is still at play. In the next age, when there's all these nations, there's all these people, they are going to need to be discipled. Look at Isaiah 2, verse 3. This is so fun. This is a great, great commission accomplished sort of component of the Great Commission in the next age. Many peoples will come and say, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Why will they say that? Because that's where Jesus' throne is. That's where his Washington, D.C. of the planet is. He's ruling the planet on top of Mount Zion. That's where he will be ruling. That's where his throne will be. It says, everybody's going to be saying, let's go see him. Let's go up and talk to the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. That's Great Commission. There it is, right there. He will teach his ways so that we may walk in his paths, and the law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The purposes of God are going to go forth. Let me tell you this. Whatever we reach, the highest heights that we reach to in this age related to discipleship, the Great Commission, following Jesus, the highest of heights will still be minuscule by comparison to what happens when Jesus is in charge of the Great Commission on the planet with an army of those that are helping him get the nations discipled. Guys, it is going to be phenomenal. Let's talk about Jesus' global government. Guys, I want you to understand, we're going to talk next session about what we're doing during the age to come. Because none of this is us so far. Not directly, and I'll tell you what that looks like later. This is those that have grown up in the millennial kingdom. This is those that were the resistors. These are those that got saved when Jesus came back. They're doing all of this. That's an interpretive key that's so important, because you're talking about, probably 100 Bible verses that you just scratch your head and go, I thought Jesus said we were going to be with him in heaven. I thought he said he was preparing a room for us in heaven. I thought we were living in heaven. What's all this activity on planet Earth doing? Who's doing that? The resistors are doing that. Jesus' global government. And it's a little bit more complicated than that. We'll get to it in another session. Jesus' global government. Jesus is going to be crowned king of all the earth. Look at this. Matthew 19:28, Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things," which if you want to know what the age to come is, you want to know what the thousand-year reign of Jesus is, it's the renewal of all things. Is it a thing? Yeah, then it's going to get renewed. It's going to get renewed. We're going to have the best coffee. We're going to have the best chairs. We're going to have the best economic system. We're going to have the best social justice system. If it can be renewed, it's going to be renewed. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, the renewal of all things is completely connected to Jesus sitting on that throne. It's the only way we can have things right down here is Mr. Right leading the planet. And he will be. And that's how things will be made right. "You who have followed me, you will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." I just want to make the point that Jesus is established as the king. Not like right now we call him the king, but he's not acting on it actively in the nations. He will, though. He will sit on a throne on the earth, and he will be the king. He'll also be the wisest leader. I love it when there's someone smart in charge. When dummies are in charge, it's a real problem. Not my favorite thing. When someone smart's in charge, well, the guy who invented the concept of smart is in charge. Look at this. Isaiah 11, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit." The branch is Jesus. "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on this person. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, knowledge and the fear of the Lord." And this person, Jesus, who's got all that counsel and wisdom and everything resting on him, this person, he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes. He'll not judge like a human judges or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions. The wisest man ever, with discernment operating through him every time he opens his mouth and speaks, he is not going to be making his assessments merely off of what things appear. He's God who sees the heart. God who knows the heart will be making perfect decisions in justice. All of his decisions about how to do things, who should be in charge, when this should happen, what's good, what's bad, who really did what in what situation, he'll know it, and he's in charge. You want that guy leading. That is just awesome. The most brilliant leader will be leading the globe, the wisest of men. And he rules the nations. Isaiah 2:4, he'll judge between the nations. He'll settle disputes for many peoples. So there's going to be national conflict still. No war, but still conflict. This nation says, "Yeah, but that's our river." This nation says, "No, no, no, that river's our river. We did this, this, and that's our river." Jesus is going to judge between nations and settle disputes. "They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore." Jesus is like, "Okay, you got an issue? Great, you come talk to me." "No, no, we're going to fight." "No, you're not. In fact, go get every weapon you've got and turn it into a farming tool." "Huh? No, we want to fight." "No, no more fighting." "But what about all our war training academies?" "Cancel them. They're done. Nobody trains for war anymore under my watch. There is no war. War is done." War was the other guy's thing. When Antichrist was ruined, war was his thing. "That's not my thing. Peace is my thing. Of the increase of my peace, there'll be no end." Go get all of your weapons and turn them into farming equipment. No more fighting. It's okay that you dispute. Let me work it out with you. I will settle disputes between nations. This is awesome. Can you start to picture it? This is Jesus on the planet being a human, fully God, but fully human, doing what humans do, talking, eating, walking, scratching his head and assessing situations, having board meetings, making decisions, settling disputes. He's not going to do it like Genie Blink. He's going to do it as a human. He's going to do it as a man. He's going to have appointments. Oh my gosh, the guy keeping his appointment calendar. Jesus is going to have appointment after appointment after appointment. It's like, "Jesus, you tired? Yeah, I'm taking a nap, guys. I'll be back here in a minute." You know, I don't know. I don't know how that works with a resurrected body. But I can tell you this, that there's going to be so many natural processes. The nations are going to continue on. And that's what I want to point out. The nations continue on Revelation 2:27, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's vessels. This is Jesus ruling. We want to make sure we understand he's not Mr. Nice Guy, anything goes. He's like, no, it's my way or the highway. It just so happens I'm smart. So you can trust my way or the highway leadership style, but you will be doing it my way or I will dash you to pieces. You will do it my way. So we actually go to a dictatorship. It just so happens the dictator is the nicest guy ever, who's totally smart, who never makes a mistake. He's totally wise. It all works perfect. But don't cross him because he says, I will be ruling with a rod of iron. So if you want to know how it's going to go, sin isn't going to be okay on my watch. We're going to deal with some things. There's no more war. There's no more this. There's no. We are going to deal with things. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. That speaks so much to his, like, I mean, chest out, up front. We're going to do it my way. I'm not in a manger this time, friend. I got a big stick, and I know how to use it. And I'm in charge. And that's the way he's going to rule the nations. And we're all going to look at that and go, that's wisdom. That's good. But the ones that don't, well, ain't going to go well. Actual nations. You know, sometimes we think about the future, we're like, it's all just ethereal and nebula and just everybody's floating around. There's going to be actual nations. Look at this. Revelation 2, 26 through 27. This is one of the promises for you if you'll take him up on it. This is a promise from Jesus to you if you decide you want it. But it's not a given. It's a if this, then this clause. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. It's talking about the next age. You will actually have the opportunity. If you forgive people now, if you serve now, if you go low now, if you operate according to the fruit of the Spirit now, if you do the work of God now and give yourself fully to what he's calling and forgive your enemies and bless people and help, and you do the work of the kingdom now and you allow that to be strong in your life and you stay faithful until the end, he says, I'll actually give you partial authority over actual nations when I'm the king of all the nations. I'm the king of all the nations. I don't have time to be involved in all the affairs of every nation. I'm going to need some help, and I'm looking for people that want that role. I will give you authority over the nations in the millennial kingdom. That's incredible. It also means there will be real nations. There's a one-world government that Jesus is ruling. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We just need to recognize we have never experienced a time before where there was one king over the whole planet, one leader, one president, one whatever. Jesus is still going to have kings over nations. He's going to appoint new kings. He's going to say, yeah, that nation needs a king. They need a leader. This guy's a leader. That gal's a leader. We're going to put them in place. He says, but don't anybody forget who's in charge around here. I put them in charge. I can take them out too. He says, I am the king of all the kings. Listen, I want to tell you right now, the majority of the leadership, the primary leaders of the planet right now, do not care about Jesus, do not like Jesus, do not pay attention to Jesus. It would be inappropriate to say that he is the king over those kings in an actual walked out sort of a way. Is Jesus still in charge? Can he change the heart of a person? Absolutely. But those guys are not submitting to Jesus' leadership. King of kings, they will. When the time comes, all the primary leaders, plus, of the planet are going to be in submission to King Jesus. He will be the king of all the kings. And those kings are over nations, and nations will still exist. All right, new leadership is going to be put into place. I just want to give you a couple of verses on that. You know, again, my hope here today is just to start to paint a picture. I bet you in my notes here, I bet you I've got 80 or 90 Bible verses that we're not looking at. I've just got them, you know, kind of written out in chunks, you know. This is a subject of which there is immense amount of information. We're just doing a little, like, wet your palate, you know, get your appetite ready kind of a thing if you're hungry for this stuff, because this is all very rooted in your Bible. I mean, more rooted in your Bible than plenty of doctrines you're settled on. I want to say that again. There are plenty of things you believe about the Bible that are right, that are true, that are in the Bible, that have 8 Bible verses on them. And this has 200. There is way too much information on this for us to ignore it. This is solid Bible theology that we can trust. All right, Jesus is going to put new leadership into place. Look at Isaiah 32, 1 through 2. See, a king will reign in righteousness. That's Jesus. And rulers will rule with justice. Each one will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. He says the leaders that Jesus is going to put into place in the next age, they're going to be like him. They're going to be awesome. They're going to be like shade trees and springs of water. People are going to go, oh, I'm so glad that leader's in charge. I'm not confident that that's the thought process of the majority of the planet about their governmental leadership right now. I'm just thinking that's like kind of like, well, we could do worse. Oops, it's worse. I mean, it's like, I don't think that the majority of the planet is celebrating their leaders. This one says people are going to be ecstatic. They're going to look at there and go, hey, did you hear, President so-and-so's in charge now? Oh, yeah, like a shelter from the wind. That Jimbo, it's like a shelter. Really? Yeah. What else do you have to say? Like a refuge from the storm. I love that, man. That's what I'm saying here. That's awesome. I can't wait for leadership to look like that. We're going to talk about the bad old days. Oh, you remember pre-millennium? Oh, don't talk about pre-millennium. Oh, my gosh. You remember who's in charge? Don't even mention their name. Just thank the Lord for Jimbo. Shelter of the wind, Jimbo. New kings will be appointed over nations. Revelation 21, 24 through 26. This is Revelation, people. Look what Revelation describes under Jesus' watch in the next age. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. This is talking about the kings of the earth bringing tribute to Jesus in heaven. They're going to bring the best of their nation's stuff to Jesus. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into the New Jerusalem. By kings, by human kings. New judges will be put into place. You know, when we think about the government of Jesus, it's not just kings. It's people over the library system. It's people over the education system. It's people that are going to be in charge of the grocery markets and the production and transportation across the nations. And I mean, it's people that are going to be in charge of everything. He's going to put people in leadership positions of everything. Carpentry, economics, everything. Everything is going to get people put in place. And I think that this speaks to that a little bit, but it also speaks specifically to judges. For the first time in human history, all the judges will be just, and there will be perfect accountability. Isaiah 1, 26. Then I will restore your judges as at first, and your counselors as at the beginning. After that, you will be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city. This won't just be Jerusalem. There's a bunch of Bible verses. Again, I'm looking right now at like 10 that talk about the reappointing of judges in the next age, because Jesus wants justice. I'll tell you what, Jesus is smart enough to know he can't do it on his own. The process of the kingdom has always been about partnership. He's always wanted partnership. God, except for Genesis 1 creation, he's always wanted people helping him do stuff. When Jesus comes back, he's not going to try to rule the planet by himself. That's exhausting. He wants the family to rule the planet. He is going to have an incredible network that will be brilliant, perfect, well thought through. He'll have systems we've never even thought of before. Like, I didn't even know you could do. Wow, that works brilliantly. We might have been okay down here if we knew about that one beforehand. Jesus is like, I know, I've been saving it for the millennium. I got a million ideas. He's going to put leaders into place in every area of life. And they're going to be brilliant. They're going to be submissive to him. They're going to be submissive to others who are submissive to him. Let me just burst your bubble for a second here. This is an important bubble burst moment. Jesus is going to be one human being. One human being cannot have coffee appointments with 3 billion people in a year. Not one-on-one coffee appointments. Not everyone is going to get to talk to Jesus all day. That's not how this is going to work. You will have the Holy Spirit living in you with a resurrected body. It will be far better than anything you can imagine. But not everybody gets to sit down one-on-one with Jesus and shoot the breeze. He is a man, fully God, but fully human. And he's the one that entered into the limitations of humanity on purpose, with great purpose and dignity. The reason for that, the reason I even bring that up, Jesus is going to have a big old leadership team that's going to be ruling the planet. And people are going to interact with that leadership team, and that leadership team is going to have leadership teams. And those leadership teams are going to have leadership teams, and those leadership teams are going to have leadership teams. And everybody's going to be involved in this grand governmental reality of Jesus ruling the planet. But it's not like all 2 billion people, 5 billion people, a million people, whatever the number. It's not like everybody with a governmental leadership position has a one-on-one conversation with Jesus every day in the morning to get their to-do lists. That's not how this is going to work. He's going to run a government. He gave us systems of government to understand how government works. And so that's a part of this, how all this is going to work. Now, we're going to end now. So worship team, you can come on up. We're going to end now. But here's what I want you thinking about. Little snapshot into the future here. So many of the eternal rewards that are promised to you and I. So now we're back to us, not talking about the resistors. So many of the promises of eternal rewards are talking about positions of authority in Jesus's government in the next age. Positions, places, opportunities. How do we fit into Jesus's government? What do? We're going to live in heaven, but our assignment, our workplace, is actually going to be on the earth. We're going to be doing stuff on the earth. We don't live on the earth. Our house is in heaven. But there's going to be dynamic connection between heaven and earth. Guys, our lives are going to be the most incredible thing ever. Your best day in this life is a giant turd by comparison to what your life will be in the next age. I am telling you, the best day where you had this and you got this, it was yesterday, man. I'm telling you, everything was perfect. It's horrible by comparison to the age to come. The brilliance of Jesus' leadership, his wisdom, the joy of the Lord, a resurrected body, the Spirit of God, the peace of God, Jesus' physical leadership on the earth, having a real assignment and getting to do stuff, getting to build stuff, restore the earth, being part of the renewal of all things. That's your future. So if you have a bad day or decade, let's start getting some perspective. After you've lived 10,000 decades, I doubt you'll remember the last bad one. Let's get some perspective about where we're going and what this is all about. This stuff is real. It's realer than your problems. This stuff is realer than your disappointments. This is the reality. This is who God called us into the kingdom to be. You didn't get called into the kingdom to get saved. You got called into the kingdom to be part of the grand design and the purposes of the Lord.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.